The Korean FC podcast is kindly sponsored by Radio Taxis. Give them a call, 70353-709. They know the score.
Welcome along once again to the official Korean FC podcast. I don't know if there's an unofficial one out there, but if there is, I haven't heard of it yet. Welcome along, as I said, and thanks again to our sponsors, Radio Taxis, and everybody else who helps with the club. As ever, I'm joined by my colleague, erstwhile Chronicle colleague, now newsletter, Johnny McNabb. Johnny, you've a week in the new job. How's it going?
Aye, busy. It's weird having to actually do a bit of work. So, it's been busy. It's been good. Covered whole regular games, done Crusaders banger there in Irish Cup last Friday, and I done obviously the Cliftonville Korean game on Saturday, and I done the Northwest Cup game on Tuesday night. So yeah, busy. I think I may have to cover Lauren Glenavon on Friday night too, and then obviously Corey England Torn on Saturday. So yeah, seeing more football, and I've probably seen it's weird watching a different team other than Korean. It doesn't feel right. It still feels a bit weird and having to be impartial and stuff like that. But no, it's been good. I've enjoyed it. So long may it continue.
Very good. And I'm delighted to say that joining us on the podcast this evening is a guy, a Korean player, who's actually watching more games than he would like as well this season. And I'm talking about Connor McKendry. Connor, welcome to the podcast. And I say that because you're out injured at the moment, and if I'm right in thinking, you picked up your injury in the game against Carrick Rangers.
Yes, well, thanks for having me on. Picked up against Carrick Rangers just early into the first half and had to come off, unfortunately.
Yeah, and excuse me, I remember at the time, and it seemed to be that you went down, but it seemed to be the weight of the defender fell on top of you, and immediately it looked like there was a bit of concern about you, and you were on the ground for a few moments before leaving, and you went straight to the changing room. Did you fear at that time that it was quite a serious injury?
Yeah, well, first of all, I don't think really he fell on me as such. I think it was more just the way I fell on it and kind of got it caught in the ground. So I think maybe there wouldn't have been as much concern maybe if it wasn't for the past injuries I've had as well. Obviously, I've had problems with my knees and past few years, so kind of tried to go on maybe for 1 minute and just thought to myself, probably not worth the risk right now. So, and at this stage, I'm happy I kind of did that.
And you obviously went into the changing room, and then in a situation like that, where you say that you have previous injuries and there's a bit of concern there. Did you then go for a scan to sort of determine what the injury was, or what happens in a situation like that, Connor?
Well, at the start, obviously, they kind of had a fair idea what was wrong with it. So I think maybe if it hadn't been someone that has had past injuries with their knee, they might not have sent someone for a scan. But I got sent for a scan, was it on the Sunday, I think, and got the results back the next day, which was pretty quick.
And I mean, what was the diagnosis? What did the scan show?
So probably what we had thought it was going to be. So it was a grade 2 MCL strain or tear. I'm not too sure on which one it's actually called, but that's what it was. It was up to about 6 weeks out.
I mean, how frustrating is it, Connor? Because it must have come at the absolute worst time for you, because you've had problems, injuries and wee bits of concerns, and it seemed to be that you were playing some of the best football that you've played at Korean. You were sort of really getting your position in the team, really contributing, and that for that then to happen, how frustrating is that?
Yeah, I think obviously that's football as well, but you're going to be frustrated and you've just kind of got to get on with it. But I think I was playing quite well for the past 3 or 4 months, and probably not something I wanted, but especially coming up maybe to the cup final and stuff like that, and we've a lot of games at the minute. Even missing Saturday's game was a big loss for me, because obviously you want to play in the cup games and stuff like that. So I feel that probably not the best timing, but there maybe never is a good timing.
That's true. I mean, Johnny, like, you watch all the Korean games, and as I said there, you know, Connor was arguably playing the best football of his time at Korean, almost there on a consistent basis. And for that injury to happen to him at this particular time, it's really just such a disappointment for Connor and B for the team as well.
Yeah, Neil O'Hare, he was linking up really well there with Glax and Chevy, and he was getting a good run of games and a consistent run of form. And, you know, I think he was up there. I think I put him down as one of our contenders for player of the month because he was contributed a lot of goals and a lot of assists. And yeah, the goal was a ported down. The counter attack goal was Glax and Connor at their finest. So, yeah, he scored a few big goals for us that month as well. Obviously, a lot of goal in the Irish Cup. And yeah, it's funny, not funny, obviously, but I was standing where we are at the time watching the game against Carrick, and when Connor went down, he just said to me, he goes, "That looked a bad one," and more or less goes more off the ball kind of thing too when he's trying to get, it wasn't as if the defender tackled him or anything like that. There it's just one of the, just when he went down, you just sort of knew it wasn't going to be an easy one on him. And to be fair to Connor, he tried to play on, but it was just one of the things where he just couldn't, and he had to come off.
And it's frustrating, as I said, and it's all about timing as well, and Connor mentioned about timing. You know, Saturday we were missing Connor, we were missing Glax, obviously through suspension. Big players missing at the weekend in a particularly big game, and it is all about timing, and sometimes it goes for you, sometimes it goes against you, but I guess you just got to get on with it, haven't you?
Yeah, we sort of had a bad run of injuries. There's never a good time to have injuries, but, you know, Josh had to come off. Kieran Farn wasn't even that solid. They changed things. Obviously, Big Mitch is out, Connor was out, Glax is out. There's probably another couple that I'm missing as well. So, yeah, look, when you go to Cliftonville and you go to extra time penalties, you need a 16 or 17 man squad, as Orange said. And, you know, Orange made a great point. You look at the cup final, Connor had to come off, and I think Glax came off as well. And we just couldn't go out, and Cliftonville just pummeled us and then got the equaliser, and then obviously won the game and extra time. And I wouldn't say it was a sort of same. It wasn't really Alamo, but I think if you had Connor, you had Glax, or, you know, at least one of the two on the pitch, they'd have got us up the park and won free kicks and stuff like that. And yeah, it's a weird game to analyse Saturday, because I don't think Cliftonville were good in the first half. The second half, I thought we were home and hosed, and obviously then Connor went off and they just sort of disrupt things. And yeah, a ball came over the top, great ball in by Levi Ives. And unfortunately, that's just the quality he has. And McDonald was there in the back post. And it was one of them ones where you just knew that once they scored out, there's just the way the game was going that they were going to win.
And Connor, you were actually at the game. I seen you there. As a player, and as somebody who would have been playing in that particular game, if you were fit, how hard is it for somebody like yourself to watch a game like that? I can imagine it, like, because we watch it as fans and it's difficult, but as a player, it must be absolutely torturing.
Yeah, definitely would be, but I feel like obviously, you know, you can give maybe something that someone else can't give, and you obviously it's very hard to watch a game of football, but very easy to kind of say I could have done this or I could have done that. Even as a player, you'd probably be saying that in the stand as well, but really it's harder when you're out there, isn't it? So I feel like obviously it would have been great to be out there, but I think everyone gave their all, and I don't think we could have done much more on the day to maybe win that game.
And of course, you know, when it goes to penalties, as everybody always says, it is a lottery to a large extent. Obviously very, very disappointing given the magnitude of the game in the Irish Cup. And I mean, without giving too much away, Connor, I suppose, but I mean, in the changing room afterwards, what was the sense, you know, because Oran came out and spoke to the press, obviously, and you could see the disappointment in him, but he was also very quick to go, you know, it's a big boys game, you have to just take it and move on. And is that the kind of spirit that was in the changing room after that game on Saturday?
Definitely. I think after every game, you have to come in and look, there's another game after this. If you win, you can't get too high and you can't get too low. So I think we've put in a great performance on Saturday. Should have won. And that's football. You don't win every game that you're maybe the better team in. So we just got to dust ourselves off and get ready for the next game and look towards Glentoran, really.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Johnny Oran, he's very good with the media afterwards, you know, because despite his disappointment, he'll come out and he'll talk, and he's always very honest. And it's what he said, you know, it's like, well, I think he said something like, we'll sulk for the next couple of days or something, and then we'll get over it and we'll regroup and go again. And I guess, like as Connor said, that's what you have to do in football. You can't be feeling sorry for yourself for too long, can you?
Look, we all would have wanted to win in the Irish Cup quarter final, but you're not. And yes, whilst losing is disappointing, and especially the manner of it, we still have a lot to play for. We have a cup final. We're right up there within the league, and it's another chance of Europe through the league as well. So, you know, we've got two bites of Europe, really, either finishing the top two or the playoffs, and we've the league cup final. So we still have plenty to play for. And you can't feel sorry for yourself, because if you do, and you know, the teams, the quality teams that we're playing, even if you look at Glentoran this weekend, and even the month and the as a whole, you're going to get punished. So, you know, I think actually that getting beaten the way that we did might fire the players up. They get over that disappointment, and you know, I'm sort of glad we're playing Glentoran now at home, the big game, and you know, the players will be up for that one. Here's hoping we can, you know, obviously we've Glags back. Here's hoping we get a few more bodies back and fill out the bench and everyone else. And you know, I thought, for example, Andy Scott, I thought done really, really well on Saturday. Probably had to defend a wee bit more, and he probably would have won it in the last half an hour. But you know, again, that's probably a player that Connor knows well too. So yeah, look, all in all, yes, whilst it's disappointing, I don't think, you know, the performance, we could be disappointed with that, or the effort or anything else. It was just one of them things on the day where, you know, even, you know, we won a semi-final on penalty kicks, and we've lost a match on penalty kicks, and it's just a lottery at the end of the day, and unfortunately something has to go through.
Yeah, Connor, Johnny mentioned Andy Scott, obviously a former Larne player like your good self. I think Oren said afterwards, it's probably been a while since Andy played like 120 minutes of a game. I mean, it's quite an ask, isn't it, when you come to a new club and you've maybe not featured a lot for your previous club, and to have to then put in a shift such as Andrew did on Saturday. He did well, didn't he?
Yeah, he did great. I think Andy's been great since he came in. I think he's obviously played quite a few minutes, especially with me and Glax being out as well. He's been thrown in the deep end straight away. On Saturday, probably, as you said, he defended more than he probably wanted to, but that's football, and sometimes you have to do that. And especially not playing so much, to do so much defensively, it's going to be very hard for him to create anything or get us up the pitch and stuff like that as well. So credit to him for, I think he run 16K, was it, the other night? For him to run 16K after not playing many minutes. The other night, what boys run, obviously sometimes you can't look at numbers, but for a player that hasn't played much minutes to run 16k in a match and last the 120 is crazy, and credit them for doing that.
Very good. And of course, he's like one of a number of Larne, former Larne players at the club now, and there's Andrew, yourself, Dean and Lee, and it's probably nice for somebody like an Andrew coming into a new club a couple of weeks ago to see some familiar faces there as well. And I guess you have some sort of connection from your previous club, don't you?
Yeah, definitely. Well, obviously, I lived with Andy when I was in Larne, so I would have known him quite well. And I think it helps him having a couple older lads as well that he would have played with coming home from England and stuff like that. So it's a lot easier to go into a changing room when you know a few faces and you have a few people to speak to straight off the bat and get to know the other boys through them as well. It's a lot more comfortable.
And I suppose the fact that you live with Andrew and you've been here now a year and a half or whatever, and Andrew's coming from Larne, which we all know is a full-time setup and stuff, the likes of you and Dean and Lee can help, I suppose, and Andrew, that transition from the full-time to the part-time game as well.
Yeah, definitely. Even off the pitch, you can have conversations, you can have phone calls, and even just at training, trying to do your gym stuff maybe as well, and trying to do your prehab yourself and all the different stuff that comes with it. So I think that helps coming into a new club, having other people to speak to.
And did you find it difficult making the transition, or did you find it easy enough?
I think after you've moved about a few clubs quite a bit, you get kind of used to going into new change rooms and knowing how to go into a change room. So yeah, I find it quite good, I think, because obviously as soon as you go in somewhere and you're playing, I think it's a lot easier to get on with the lads and create a relationship because you're playing with them on the pitch. And maybe harder if you go somewhere and you don't play straight away. It takes a while for you to settle in and get to know the lads because you aren't playing with them every day or playing with them on a Saturday. So I think that'd help.
Can it be intimidating too, going into a changing room, you know, because Korean changing room, there's probably big characters in there when you came as well. And, you know, could be a little bit intimidating too, possibly, could it?
Oh, massively. I think last year when I came, there was massive personalities in the changing room, such as Arne Traynor, Owen Bradley, people that have been there, done it for many years. So, been a lot of characters in the changing room when I came in. So it was, but they also help you to settle in well because they know that you need that help when you come in somewhere. So that probably was actually better coming in having big characters to that want to talk to you and want to get you going and joined in.
And do you have to bide your time before you sort of show your real personality? Do you sit there and be quiet for a week or two or a month or two just to work out who's who, or do you just be yourself from the get-go?
No, it's funny you say that because I think I had a conversation with Dave Cavan last night and he was saying that he can really see my personality coming out now because when I first came in, I wouldn't say I was quiet, but I kind of just let others talk and I just kind of listened in a way. But now I would probably, maybe some boys would say I talk too much.
But Johnny, that's interesting, isn't it? Because we don't know what it's like going into a changing room. I can only imagine if you're a young fella going in and the likes of a Skinner's there and Traynor's there, because let's be honest, they can be loud, you know, they can be dominating. It can be difficult. So, and it's probably what Connor's saying, is there's an element of that. We're probably only really now seeing the real Connor himself in the change room, and then that's reflecting on the field as well.
Yeah, whilst a media officer, I wouldn't say I'm that close with the players in that sort of sense, but I do know that they get on really well. And for example, the time we played Cliftonville in the league and there was a scuffle and all that, the guys all around each other, backing each other up and stuff like that. So it's probably things that obviously, you know, was obviously that they won't win on the league too. There were 14 matches unbeaten heading into the cup game there. So obviously there is that sense of togetherness with each other. And it was always going to take a wee bit of time because of all the players that we brought in. Was it seven we brought in the summer? And then a couple of guys came in January. So there's nine players coming into a squad. And it was sort of a new cycle as well, because obviously we had Skinner, we had Arne Traynor, as you said. There was Ian Parkhill. There was loads of guys there who'd been there for maybe 5, 6, 7 years. And they obviously moved on. So, yeah, look, it was always going to take a bit of time to gel, and it just takes different players, different times to obviously come out of their shells, you know. And I always look at Patrick Kelly, car sharing with Ian Parkhill and James McLaughlin in London and guys like that, and look at him now, obviously, living in London and stuff like that. But PK probably tell you that those car journeys was probably the makings of him before he went over the water and now starring at West Ham. So, you know, players just have different, you know, I couldn't imagine walking around the change room listening to them guys. So I don't know how you quiet fellas, you know, obviously like Connor can do it. So yeah, but look, people just have different personalities and that's just life.
Yeah, and you mentioned PK as well, and I'm just thinking about you, Connor, because you started your football career over in England. Some people maybe know, some people maybe aren't aware. I think Ipswich Town, I think you started at. I mean, what age were you then? You must have been very, very young when you went across the water.
Yeah, I moved over when I was 16, and I think I came back when I was just before my 21st birthday.
And I mean, 16, you know, that's a big move. I have a daughter who's now 16, and for like me thinking about her moving across to go and live and to be a pursue a career, a sporting career, or any kind of career, it's a massive, massive step. I mean, I presume you were at school and then you got the opportunity. Did you have much to think about, or was it when you got the offer, it was like a no-brainer? You just thought, this is what I want to do. This is, I'm going.
No, definitely. I think I started going to Ipswich initially when I was 13 before I moved over. So I kind of was very comfortable going over, and I knew all the lads by the time I, actually got that move across. So I feel like I was kind of comfortable there already, moving at 16, which probably helped a lot of, helped me to settle in as well. But it's different for the likes of PK, who's gone over, having not met anyone, not been there for anything. It's a lot more intimidating that you're basically going into a new change room.
And who was in charge of Ipswich at that particular time?
Mick McCarthy. The whole time I was there, it was basically under Mick McCarthy until my last season, where there was a couple of different managers.
And what, like, I'm just thinking, you obviously went over at 16, and how did things work for you when you were there? I mean, were you in the underage teams or reserves or along in the first team squad, or how all did that work for you at the time?
Well, initially I went over it as under 18s, but in my first year I quickly went into the 23s, and the manager at that time really liked me, and I played a lot of games under him. Then he ended up leaving when I was going into my second year. The manager that came in wasn't really having me, so I kind of moved back down to the 18 and played a lot of 18s football in my second year.
And I guess that's football, isn't it? You said before that's football in relation to injuries, but it's also that's football in terms of managerial changes, etc. I mean, for my sins, and people may know, I'm a Leeds United supporter, and we got rid of a manager Monday, Tuesday, I don't know what, I can't remember now. So at this stage, we don't know who the new manager is going to be. But as a player, Connor, I'm sure you can empathise. Those Leeds players don't know who's coming in. The manager's maybe brought these guys in January. There's no guarantee that a new manager comes in likes them. And that's the vagaries and the problem, not the problem with football, but that's just the life of a footballer, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I think sometimes, as they say, the grass isn't always greener. Sometimes you might not get on with a manager, but you might get on even less with the next manager that comes in. So just because one manager doesn't like you obviously doesn't mean that another isn't going to love you. So I think it's just trying to find that manager that does love you and trying to find that style of play and a manager that suits you as well.
And would you say that you have that currently with Owen at Corium?
Yeah, definitely. I think that I've probably enjoyed my football most in the past 5 years playing under Owen, and gives you that freedom to kind of go out and express yourself. Obviously, you have to do the other side of football, but I think he trusts his players and has a lot of trust in the players that he knows that he's going to get the best from them and kind of let them do what works best for them as well.
And then I'm just interested as well, because obviously you were there at Ipswich, and you know, you're not the first young footballer that's went across to England and then probably had to make a decision as well. I mean, making a decision to leave England to come back home to Northern Ireland, how did that work out for you, or how difficult, or maybe it wasn't difficult making that decision?
It was actually quite a long process. So when I kind of had decided that I was going to kind of maybe try another country, I went to Prague. I played there for 6 months, maybe just under 6 months, and I had a team called Bohemians Praha. And so I went there, was always wanting to go abroad, really enjoyed my time there, and then ended up getting the chance to go to Portugal to play. So thought I probably could have signed for the club in Prague on a permanent basis, but I'd found out about this chance to go Portugal and thought, oh, sun, lovely beaches, great football that's been played, lovely style of football. I'd definitely love to go and try that, and went there for a week and absolutely hated it, and was straight home and took myself home before I would even sign a contract.
That's crazy. And then, I mean, it was interesting about the Prague thing, because Johnny and I's eyes both lit up. Not, it was like a year ago, 11 months ago, we were in Prague for Johnny's stag do. So the mention of Prague just struck a chord with me and him there. I mean, Johnny, what an opportunity for somebody like a young guy like Connor to go and play football in the Czech Republic for Prague.
We never would have been out of the Koo Bar if we were in Prague.
I don't know what
unfortunately
you're talking
didn't
about.
Get there.
You're lucky. I'm barred from Prague for a week. I've got a restraining order for about 3 years, or a ban order. No, but they pray a lot. Yeah, it would be amazing. I think it's probably for certain people rather than others. I'd imagine, you know, I think to move away and play football abroad is, you know, probably not for everybody's cup of tea. But again, look, you know, we had Johnny Black on, and obviously he played in Australia and he loved it. And it's for certain people, and it's not for others. And you probably learn as much playing abroad, but you would, you know, different cultures and different experiences and going to different grounds and playing different ways. So yeah, look, it's for some players and probably not for others.
But it tells you probably a lot as well about somebody like Connor, excuse me, coming from, you know, with the greatest respect, relatively small place in Northern Ireland, Carnlough. It's not the biggest place in the world. And for somebody who's young in age to go and go, I'm going to go to the Czech Republic and try my hand, and or Portugal as well, I think it says a lot about Connor's attitude and a bit of a bravery as well, Johnny, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It does. It would have been probably easy for Connor to maybe come back home and straight away, but obviously he said they try new experiences and see a different part of the world and play with different players and different systems and different formations and things like that. So yeah, look, it was obviously an adventure for him and stuff like that. And yeah, look, it's probably 6 months that he might look back with fondness, he might not, you know, we learned different things, I'm sure, and probably learned a bit about himself too, never mind the football side of things. So yeah, look, probably a good standing, good education for him too.
And then after that, Connor, the Portugal thing didn't work out. You obviously then you said you came back home. And was there a period there that you weren't sure about what your next move was, or did the Larn thing happen quite quickly when you came back?
Well, when I came back, before I went to Portugal, I had trained with Larn up until that, because at the time my dad was the under-20s manager, so he would have been quite close with Tiernan at the time, so I trained with them mostly throughout pre-season. And so when I kind of realised Portugal wasn't for me, I kind of got on the phone and said, look, would that be an option? And it kind of happened over a couple of days.
Very good. And then that's, you get back to Larn and one thing and another, and then that's how you eventually you ended up at Corian. But as you said, the move to Corian seems to have really, really worked for you. You say you're happier now than you have been for a long time in football, and bar these frustrating injuries that you seem to be getting, I mean, you seem very settled here. And as you rightly said yourself, you're starting to show more of who you are, both on and off the pitch as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think it can only get better, hopefully. And if I get back for injury in time for the cup final, hopefully that'll be my first piece of silverware that I might get. And that'll be a great achievement for myself and the club.
Yeah, I mean, the cup final, the Bet McLean cup final is, Johnny, how many would you say, 4 weeks away, a month away, roughly?
Maybe 5 weeks, but 5 weeks.
Yeah, 5 weeks, Connor. Is that a realistic target for yourself?
Yeah, definitely. If I'm trying to cut maybe the 6 weeks that they had said, maybe short to four. So I don't know if I'll make four, but hopefully five will be my max being out. So definitely could see myself trying to get back for that, but just need to keep the rehab going and try.
Yeah. And I guess having a target like that in mind as well, something so tangible to come back for, I guess that helps in rehab, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I think last year when I done my knee, it was after the cup final and we were kind of sitting sixth, a bit dormant, had no other cups to play in, and it was a lot harder maybe to, obviously you definitely want to play football, but you were kind of saying to yourself, well, I'm missing the end of the season. We don't really have much to play for until we get to the playoffs. So that was probably harder to be motivated to do your rehab as it is, because you know you have a lot more time to recover to get back for the new season.
That's
so
right.
Minute, I think, yeah.
Yeah, no, you mentioned the end of last season, and Johnny, it really was like that last year, wasn't it? I mean, that those post-split games, it was just almost a question of just fulfilling those games and getting to the playoff, because effectively that was all that we had at the end of last season to play for, wasn't it?
Yeah, the playoff games were probably more of a chore rather than going there to enjoy them. And we were trying to get everyone tuned up, obviously, for the playoffs, and just it just didn't go right for us. And obviously, Larn beat us in the semi-final. they obviously went on, they qualify for Europe. So yeah, look, it was a weird one, the European or the split last year, because we really had nothing to play for, and that's probably the first year we've been in it. Well, I think it'd been one other year maybe we just didn't have anything to play for. So yeah, obviously with the split changing this year, and you've maybe more opportunities they fight for, and the league's that tight at the minute, anyway. So I even think when the split comes around, you'll have maybe three, four, five teams maybe that could actually win the league. So and yeah, look, I think this year Orne and the players will be wanting Europe, so they'll be trying their best. They obviously get a bit of momentum here, then hopefully we don't need the playoffs, that would be lovely. But if we do have the playoffs, a bit of momentum.
I mean, inside the changing room, Connor, because Johnny said the league is so, so tight, any one of six teams probably could still go on and win that league. Corian are a number of points off the top at the moment, but they're still in there, and their, you know, league form is 12 unbeaten, I think it is. Is there belief within the players in the change room and the management that they're still in that contention and that they can go and win that league title? Even though there is a gap there, but there's big games coming up, and is the league title still a target for the club?
I think at the minute we could probably start looking at maybe it being something that we're looking towards, but I think because we maybe were so far behind on points for a while that was never really in our thought process. It was more trying to just gain points to get back closer, and obviously we've done that. I think we were 15 points behind Larne at a stage when they were top, and we're maybe sitting three off them now. So I don't think we've actually had that conversation of where we're pushing to go, but we're taking every game as they come, and we know we, as a team, we have that belief that we could on our day beat anyone in the league. So that's where we're at.
And I guess knowing footballers and football teams and managers, nobody ever wants to say, you know, we're going up for the league. It's the old cliche, and it's a cliche for a reason. It's like one game at a time, and that's kind of what you're saying there. You were 15 points behind Larne. You were never thinking about a league. It was just the next game. And all of a sudden, a series of good results and performances gets you to within touching distance of the top. It's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, it's crazy. Especially because I think at one stage we were like 3 points off maybe Carrick nearly catching us. So we nearly dropped into seventh at a stage, which I think when we beat Carrick that day, if they had beat us and we had lost, they would have went level on point with us. So we were nearly at that stage fighting for sixth. So to now maybe even talk about a title race, is you wouldn't have believed it if you'd said maybe 6 or 7 weeks ago.
And I guess it probably helps too, Connor, that from the outside in the media, nobody really is talking about Corian, are they? It's all about Cliftonville and Linfield and Larne and obviously Glentoran as well. So it's almost that Corian are under the radar and can just go about their business, and that's a beautiful place to be as a football team, isn't it?
Definitely. I think there's no pressure on any of the lads when we go out and play, and we have that expectancy from ourselves that what we want on the pitch and performance levels that we expect to hit. But other than that, I think we're being quite silent and doing our job in the dark, really.
Yeah. I mean, Johnny, you're now working for the newsletter. Your focus is having to slightly change. You know, you used to be Korean-centric. Now you have to take, you know, a little bit more notice of the other teams. I mean, are you getting excited about Korean and where they are in the last 10, 11 games of the season or whatever is left?
I think, you know, if he had offered where we're at in November, I'd have probably laughed, just because he just couldn't get a consistent run of form. And the night we played the Glens at home, funny enough, and it was a 0-0 draw, it sort of was a turning point, because we battled hard, we didn't concede any really stupid goals in between then or since then, really, apart from incidentally against Cliftonville, we were seeming to concede really bad goals against them, so they must think it's Christmas nearly every time we played them. But yeah, it's going to be really, really tight. I think, you know, I had this conversation with somebody at the game on Tuesday night. You know, Crusaders are very strong at home, not great away from home. Cliftonville conceding far too many goals. Linfield not score many goals, and they go and sign, you know, Kyle Lowry. Larne, there's always question marks about if Larne will ever do it. Probably the question marks with Corian's probably the test of our squad. And do we draw a lot of games? you know, and then the Glens, you know, how are they going with the catch up, you know, so you can question nearly every team, but that's what makes it so good. And I say it all the time, everyone's like, this year are probably one of the most deserving champions ever because it's so tight. And yeah, for Corian to be up in that mix is massive credit they earn, and the players say it all the time, you know. And you know, they go 14 games unbeaten in all competitions in Irish League nowadays is really, really good. And you know, it's really, really tough because teams are really, really hard to beat.
I think we probably touched on it in the past as well, Johnny, in the podcast, that given you mentioned so many new players coming in last summer, I guess it was always going to take a period of time for the players to gel with the boys that were already here. And that did lead to that inconsistency that you were mentioning. And I think now there's a settled squad, the players know what's required, and if they keep going the way they can, and Conor comes back from injury and the other injured players come back as well, as Conor on the podcast just said, on their day, Corian can beat anybody.
Yeah, you know, we have a really, really good squad. We've 21 players there, and obviously Jack O'Mahony came on Saturday and I thought he was superb, not because he scored it, he gives you a lot, and obviously he's just coming back. Aaron Jarvis came in as well, so he's got a really good squad there now as well. And it's not a sake if you're bringing a player on just for the sake of it or bulking the squad up, really. You know, he's got 21 players there that he can count upon. And so, yeah, look, unfortunately, we've probably picked up a few niggly injuries at a really bad time. But at the same time, as Aaron said, it gives chances to the others. You know, Aaron Jarvis and Jack, for example, the two guys I just mentioned, were flying before they both picked up illnesses and when it bugged or something like that. So, yeah, look, it gives them a chance. They may get more minutes and they impress. And obviously that means whenever Connor and Glax comes back, we have to be right on it. The age boys out of the team. And that's what you want. You want competition for places. It keeps players on their toes. And I said it in the podcast a few times, too many times last year, the team picked itself. But now Orange got plenty of options that he can go and maybe play a 3-5-2 or a 4-3-3 or a 4-4-2. So, yeah, it's a good headache for Orange.
Yeah, it is a great headache, and for somebody like Connor coming back, I mean, you come back, Connor, and you know that you're going to have a fight in your hands to get back into the starting 11. You've got Andrew coming in now. You've got Jack, as Johnny mentioned. You have a number of players all fighting for a position in that team, but I guess as a footballer, you want that competition for places because then that's going to bring out the very best in you, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I think some players get very comfortable because they know they're starting every week, and you probably don't put the work in maybe during the week for a Saturday as much as you would, knowing that if I don't play as well in training here, someone else might start on Saturday. So, yeah, definitely competition's great for everyone, especially with having a big squad.
Yeah, I think Jack and Aaron and Eamon Fife come in January as well, and he's a guy that's coming in. He wants to try and make a name for himself. He's hungry as well. And it just pushes everybody on. And ultimately, the team is going to benefit from it, isn't it?
Definitely, I think. Obviously, people said that we were missing a few on the weekend, but you look at our starting 11 and no one says we're looking weak. We're still looking as strong as ever. So I think if you just, obviously, maybe our bench was a bit weaker, having a few younger lads on it and stuff like that, but definitely the starting 11 that started on Saturday was no weaker than what we've put out in recent weeks.
And Johnny, you mentioned it as well. Glax is back this weekend. Who else can we expect back this weekend, Johnny, that was maybe missing, or is Glax the only one?
I think Glax the only one. Obviously, Conor McDermott came off injured. I think it was a totally different injury than what he had the first time. So yeah, and Josh came off too, so hopefully we'll have them three available. To be honest, I haven't a clue. So, yeah, they're three big players for us, obviously. And yeah, they offer you so much versatility too, I suppose. And Connor's probably been our player of the year. So, yeah, look, hopefully we can get all three of them are fit and raring to go, obviously, because it's a big home game and against an informed team.
It's a massive home game, isn't it, Johnny? Because it's like a six-pointer, isn't it? Because of Corian get the 3 points, you're opening a bit of a gap on the Glens, whereas if the Glens win, they're catching you up, etc., etc. It won't be easy. And then, of course, Glens had their change of manager. You've got Rodney in charge and John Gregg there alongside him. And that, I guess, adds a little bit of extra spice to the game as well, doesn't it?
It does, but obviously, you know, Rodney's been back at the show rounds. There was a, I think he was at Warren Point for a while, wasn't he? And he was at the Glens too. So, yeah, I don't think it'll be much of an issue. To be honest, it'll be weird seeing Rodney in the dugout, I suppose, for the Glens in terms of managing them. But yeah, look, obviously he's come in and they've had their bounce. They had a good win there, obviously at home to Crusaders, and I think they beat Portadown in the league and Newry and Dungannon or something like that. So yeah, look, he's come in. Turned the tide for him a wee bit, and then they've picked up a fair few wins on the bounce. But look, we're at home. We've a decent record against them at home. So yeah, we just have to concentrate on ourselves and just try and block the fact of Rodney and their good form out. Because if we don't play well, we'll get beaten. It's as simple as that. So the players just know they have to play well to be a good team, and I'm sure they'll be up for it.
And Connor, what do you think of the Glens? Because they started the season like a house on fire. Then they had a well-documented slump in form. Mick left the managerial post, went upstairs, new manager come in, seemed to have steadied the ship, turned the corner, whatever you want to say. I mean, what do you make of Glentoran? Because on paper and the squad they have, they're sort of frightening the squad in terms of players, haven't they?
Yeah, definitely, but sometimes that doesn't work in your favour because maybe having too many egos. Obviously, I don't know the boys at Glentoran very well, but maybe sometimes if you have too many egos in the changing room, it kind of unsettles the team morale, really, in a way. But you can't doubt that they'll challenge for the league with the team they have and the squad they have is the depth and numbers and stuff like that. So you can never write them out of it. And they've obviously picked up a few wins recently. They have Conor McMenamin coming back. They've signed Al McGinn. They're probably looking as strong as ever going into the new year.
And as a player, you know, obviously you'll not be available this weekend, but as a player, and you know the thinking in the group, obviously, as well, those are the games that you just look forward to so much. It's like a top six battle against one of the big teams. They're probably be near enough a full house there at the showgrounds. And I mean, the backing that you guys get from the fans is second to none. And those are the kind of games that you really miss when you're sitting out injured, I guess.
Definitely, you miss just even the occasion of the warm up, the getting out in the pitch, playing against top quality players, and that's the games that have us sitting where we are now and can hopefully push us on to win them games and stuff like that, to push us on to maybe fight for the title or fight for Europe or stuff like that.
Europe would be nice, wouldn't it? You mentioned Niall McGinn. Obviously, the big talking point today, as we're recording the podcast on Wednesday, is signing Kyle Lafferty signing for Linfield for the rest of the season. I mean, first of all, Connor, what do you make of the signing? It's a ostensibly, I suppose, on paper, it's a big signing, isn't it? It's a statement.
Definitely a statement, but whether he's going to come in and do it, no one knows. I don't know. I've not really seen much of Kyle Lafferty play, so I can't really comment on what type of footballer he is, but he's scored goals in most leagues he's played in, he's won titles, and he's had a great career, so that can only stand good stead coming into the Irish League.
I mean, Johnny, what do you make of it? Because everybody will have their say, obviously, because he's so high profile, and some people will think he'll do well. Others have read already, thinking it's a big mistake from Linfield, etc., etc. Everybody's got their own opinion. I mean, what's your view on it?
Well, at the end of the day, he's only signed to the end of the season, so it's not as if things don't go to plan for both player and club, that he's tied down to a long-term contract. I think Linfield in the games against the top six haven't scored enough goals. I think it's been an open admission by Linfield, and so they're really hoping that obviously Lafferty can come on and provide them with some big moments, you know. And they've still a lot to play for too. Obviously, they're in the same situation as us, really. They're in the league title race and then the league cup final. So yeah, even if he can bag five or six goals between now and the end of the year, who knows how important they could be. And you know, obviously Linfield brought in Ethan Devine. I know two separate names, and two one came from Knockbreedon and one came from Kilmarnock, but at the end of the day, he came in and scored some big goals for him that won them the league. So maybe Healy and Linfield are looking for the same bounce from Kyle.
It seems to be a bit of a developing trend, doesn't it? I mean, Niall McGinn, as Connor mentioned, Kyle Lafferty coming in, you know, Irish League, or sorry, finishing their careers to all extents and purposes, and Also, I'd probably be remiss as well, and maybe Connor, you know him better than Johnny and I. Jeff Hughes today announcing he's retiring from football because of an injury, I guess. I mean, you spent times, I guess, with Jeff at Larne, Connor. I mean, what kind of a guy was he? Because, you know, he had a wonderful career, didn't he?
Yeah, great footballer, no doubt. One of the probably best footballers I've played with, maybe on the pitch. His technical ability and his versatility is probably one of the best I've seen. So, great career he's had. Great fella off the pitch and good captain for a club over the past few years for Larne.
Yeah, I mean, anytime we watched him, Johnny, you could tell a bit of class about him on the pitch, wasn't there?
He's like a Rolls Royce, literally. He literally looked like you never sweat it. It just looked very, very easy to him. And yeah, he even dropped down at centre half, I think, towards the latter stage of his career. So yeah, I think he was going to retire at the end of the year end of the season by all accounts. So it's just a shame that a serious injury has probably brought it forward. But again, look, if Larne win the league or win the cup, he'll definitely qualify for a medal. So that'll probably be a big incentive to the Larne players because Jeff Hughes was literally one of their own. So yeah, it looks sad, but by all accounts, I think he's going to remain in the game. So I'm sure he'll be about the change room for him and his leadership won't go away, you know. So, but yeah, so at the same time, you know, as injuries go, it gives opportunities to the others there. So I think Albert Watson might not have played for a wee while, so he can come in and the big Bulger are there. And if Sean wants there too, so they're well stocked and players and stuff. But yeah, it's probably a sad way to they had such a fantastic career. What did they not win promotion at Wembley and play for Northern Ireland two or three times? So, yeah, that probably didn't go out the way he would have wanted to. But at the same time, I think a lot of people would love the career that he had.
Again, we've said it before in this podcast. That's football, isn't it? Just you have to take the highs with the lows as well. So, talking of Larne, we'll just look ahead. Connor, we normally do a wee predictions thing for the weekend's games and. I see Larne kick off this weekend's fixtures at home to Glenavon. Connor, Larne at home to Glenavon on Friday. How would you see that? Would you fancy Larne a home win there?
Yeah, I'd definitely probably go with Larne there. I think Larne do quite well against Glenavon at home. Everyone kind of maybe struggles more when you play Glenavon away, and probably with Glenavon's form at the minute, we're going there, and I think Larne will be very confident going into that.
Johnny, be hard to argue with Connor there.
Yeah, it's probably after Glenavon's result. I think the weekend there, the one place they probably wouldn't why it goes in for Park. And yeah, Glenavon's such a weird team, as we always say. So yeah, I'm going to go Larne to win that. I'm going to go 2-0.
I can't disagree with the two guys. Larne at home are quite formidable. Glenavon just seem to have. I wouldn't say implode it entirely, but they just seem to have, I don't know, lost their way a little bit. So I'll go Larne 3-0 winners on Friday night for that one. Next up, Connor, on Friday as well is Newry City at home to Carrick Rangers. How do you see that one? I know you played that night down at Newry and it was a really horrible, miserable night. I mean, first of all, what was it like playing that night? Because it was touch and go whether that match was actually going to get played in that pitch.
I actually enjoyed the first half, to be honest, because I feel like I was able to actually dribble on the pitch, whereas maybe defenders weren't able to turn very well because it was so slippery. But I kind of enjoyed the first half. Maybe the second half it was cut up too much, but I enjoyed it down there that night.
It's funny you say that because you did have a lot of the ball in that first half and you were running players. And it's probably you're one of the few players that maybe would enjoy that because you can use your trickery to counterbalance the bad pitch.
Yeah, I think probably as you say, I was able to get at players and was on the ball quite a lot. So I think I actually enjoyed that one, even though I wouldn't say I enjoy playing on bad surfaces a lot, but that was maybe a good bad surface.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to be playing on it every week, put it like that.
No, definitely not, no.
Once a season, that's probably enough. But
yeah, definitely.
Newry, obviously they won the Mid Ulster Cup there in midweek. They're at home, they'll get a little bit of a confidence boost from that. Carrick Rangers, again, one of those difficult teams to predict. I mean, how do you see it, Go on, Connor. You know teams better than Johnny and I.
I could maybe see a few goals in that one. I'd probably go 2-each draw.
Okay, that's sounds good to me. Johnny, how would you see that one going again? Difficult to predict, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But I'm going to go for a 2-1 Uri. I think they'll want to get away from the relegation zone. So I'm going to go for a 2-1 home win.
Okay, following on from Connor's prediction of plenty of goals, I'll go for Uri City to win 3-2. How's that? So, okay. First game I have here on Saturday is absolutely mouthwatering clash on paper. Linfield at home to Cliftonville. Kyle Lafferty set for his debut and all. So, I mean, that just, there'll be some media that game on Saturday, Connor. I mean, can you, how do you pick a winner from that? Or maybe you don't.
I don't know. It's going to be a tough one to, both teams nearly just cancel each other out, but you'd maybe hope there'd be a goal somewhere to kind of get a 1-0 win somewhere, or maybe a draw. You'd probably suit us best a draw, but I'm going to go for 1-0 Linfield, really.
And what, Kyle Lafferty with a winner?
Maybe. It'd be very interesting to see, wouldn't it?
Well, hey, wouldn't it? That's one way for it. Johnny, what's your thoughts on that one?
Yeah. It's a tough one, isn't it? That is a tough one. I'm going to go 2-1 Linfield. I think they'll sneak it, but I wouldn't surprise you if it was a draw, like a 0-0 as well.
Connor's probably hitting the nail on the head. It's like maybe cancel each other out. Some of the top six games, their tendency is the teams don't want to lose it as much as wanting to win the game. I think on that basis, I'll go for a 1-1 draw.
Yeah.
Moving on to the next one, Corian, home to Glentoran. Connor?
I think it's going to be similar to maybe to the Cliftonville Linfield game. I'm going to say we'll probably win 1-0. That's what I'm hoping anyway.
Yeah, because we've talked earlier, the previous meeting at the Showgrounds, they had it in a 0-0 draw. And I remember that game, and as Johnny said, it was one of the, it was almost the night that Corian found a bit of an edge that maybe had previously been lacking this season, and there was no goals, but it was a very, very good committed performance. And it's going to take something like that again, Johnny, but I think Corian are further down the line than they were that night that they played, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Again, this will be a tight 1-2. There's never really too much between the two teams. I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw. I'm going to sit in the fence. But again, if Corian can get the 3 points, it's massive. And likewise, if the Glens get it, it's massive for them too. So with that in mind, I'm going to go for a draw.
Right. I think it'll be tight, but I have to go for a Corian win. You have to believe these things, you know. So I will go for 2-1 win for Corian.
Love it.
So, right. Penultimate game on Saturday, Crusaders home to Dungannon. Johnny, I'll start with you in that one.
Crusaders at home are like Barcelona. They're very good at home, and and they're more like Real Valladolid or something away from home. They can't win away from home. So I'm gonna go for 4-0 Crusaders. I think on that, easy enough.
Connor, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I probably have to agree with what Johnny said there. I don't know about the teams he's picked, but I'm gonna probably go 3-0.
I never thought I'd hear today that Crusaders were likened to Barcelona, but hey,
yeah, I know. I don't know about that one either, but
there's a first time for everything in this bloody world. I'll go Crusaders to win 5-0, and Philip Lowry score all five of them.
I wouldn't put it past him at the minute as well.
Absolute goal machine. And then final game on Saturday is Ballymena at home to bottom of the table, Portadown. Connor, hard to see Portadown picking up very many points, isn't it?
Yeah, they've really struggled this season, haven't they? So I definitely can't see them doing much going down to Ballymena. So I'm going to have to maybe say 2-0 Ballymena.
Yeah, although Portadown did beat them earlier in the season, Johnny, didn't they?
They did. I was at that one. So yeah, and Ballymena were really poor that day. I'm going to go for a draw, believe it or not. Bushy did score in a one.
Bushy scored the other night, did he, or something? Did I see?
Aye, they beat Finn Harps in a friendly. So
that's what it was. Yeah, seeing Bushy score.
Well, then we go for one as well. I'm poor. I have to pick up points at some point. They have to. So
yeah, they have to turn the corner at some point. Bushy would like scoring the winner up there, wouldn't he?
I would love it. They would love it.
I'd go for. I can't see past Balmaina winning. So despite them not being the greatest team in the world, I'll go Balmaina to win 2-1. 2-1. Yeah, 2-1. I was going to say 1-0, but we'll go 2-1. So, well, hopefully, at the end of the day, we just want a Korean win on the Saturday. It sets us up again and keeps the momentum building as well towards the League Cup final. Johnny, I've got to ask you, tickets for the League Cup final, are they on sale, I think, I've seen?
Yeah, they're on sale. I think they started really well, and then I think they've maybe staggered a wee bit, but that's to be expected until the link, or until it comes in. So, yeah, one of them things. But yeah, I think there's nearly 5,000 or 6,000 sold between the two. So, yeah, well, I'll probably just pick up as well as that, you know, fans have had obviously fought out to go to Cliftonville there a couple of times and stuff and other games. So yeah, look, I'm sure they'll sell well.
Yeah, it's not easy following your team, and credit to them. And I mean, supporters play a big part, Connor, don't they?
Yeah, definitely. I think one of the biggest parts is getting wins for the supporters, and you don't want them on your back as well. So keeping them happy is probably what you want to do.
Yeah, and you love scoring, and you love a wee celebration too. I think I was looking there today and I seen the photograph of the one at Lard, and what was all that about?
I think I've probably spent too much time on TikTok.
thankfully TikTok is not something that I'm too familiar with, which is no bad thing. So
yeah.
Well, here, Connor, I'd just like to say hopefully you keep getting better, keep the rehab going. We'd love to see you back as soon as possible, because you know, unfortunately, whenever you did pick up your injury, you were really, really becoming an integral player for Korean, and it's always a shame when somebody playing well gets an injury. But from listening to you and hearing you, you seem to be taking it all very well in your stride, and you seem very philosophical about picking up injuries and just life of a footballer in general, and that's a credit to you, I think, as well.
Yeah, I think if you get down about it and stuff like that, it's probably going to take you longer to get back. I think you just got to focus on what you want to do and take, as I said, the good with the bad and the highs with the lows. So just keep going.
And I suppose it's important to have good people around you as well, isn't it? Friends, family as well. They're important at times, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. You have great people behind me, and I think the boys help, because they're texting you all the time, they're giving you a phone call, how you keep, and everyone's asking how the injury come along. And
good.
Even the boys that are injured as well help you with your rehab.
Very good. Very good. Well, Johnny, I'm sure you would wish the same as me. You wish Connor as speedy as recovery as possible, and it would be great to see him in the squad for the League Cup final, wouldn't it? It'd be a real, real boost for the team and for the fans as well to see him in the squad.
100%. Just obviously get back and fit and ready whenever you're ready to rock, and yeah, plenty to play for. Obviously, look, it's disappointing being out, but no footballer life, regardless of football or whatever it is, it always just doesn't go the way you want it to. And Connor seems to have a really good attitude with things. Yeah. So I'm sure it'll not be too long before we see him back.
And I would say, looking at Connor as well, I would say that you probably keep yourself fit anyway, so whenever you get over the knee thing, you're probably naturally quite fit, I think, anyway, aren't you?
I try to keep myself fit anyway, so
maybe not.
I try to do my best.
Well, sure, keep doing that anyway. Well, here, guys, we'll wrap it up there, Connor, because I'm sure you've probably other things to be getting on with. I'm going to go and maybe try and watch the Leeds match somewhere. I don't know how they're doing, Johnny. How are they doing there?
They're 1-1-0 in their cup final.
I know. Do you know what? I just see we scored, I think, after 1 minute. So that's never a good idea. Never a good idea. But anyway, guys, it's been a pleasure. Thank you to everybody for listening every week on the podcast. It's great to get all your feedback as we go along to all the games each week. We didn't obviously get through in the Irish Cup, but there's still a heck of a lot to play for, beginning this Saturday at the Showgrounds against Glentoran. So, as Big Alan would say, be loud and be proud, and we'll see you all there on Saturday. So, from Johnny, Connor, and myself, thank you very much, and come on the Bandsiders.